Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. This week we're joined by T3.com's editor-in-chief Matt Gallagher. He's here to talk about Ferrari's latest EV offering and to dissect T3's recently revealed top 100 hottest gadgets of 2026.
Yeah, Susie, I can't wait to talk about that Ferrari.
Oh,
fascinating. Let's not give anything away.
I've got a couple of views on it as well.
I bet you have. Amazing. Right, before we get into this week's show, though, we must say a quick word about our fabulous sponsors at CEX.
Yeah, if you love tech, you know, CEX is a bit like an Aladdin's cave. Walk into one of their stores and you'll find everything from the latest smartphones and gaming consoles to cameras, laptops, smartwatches, and plenty of retro gems as well.
Yep, whether you're after a current-gen console, a premium camera, a flagship phone, or something a little more nostalgic, there's always something interesting to discover.
And because it's not all brand new stock, you can often pick up tech for a lot less than you'd expect.
Yeah, everything is tested before it goes on sale, so you can buy with confidence.
Plus, every item comes with a 5-year warranty, which is better than most brand new tech.
And if you're wondering how CEX manages to keep its shelves so fully stocked...
Well, that's where you come in. If you've got old phones, consoles, tablets, laptops or other gadgets lying around at home, CEX will buy them from you for cash or store credit.
So your old tech could help you fund your next upgrade. Nice. While giving someone else the chance to enjoy it.
So it's good for your wallet, good for the planet, and a great excuse to finally sort through that drawer that's full of forgotten cables.
Visit webuy.com or drop into your local CEX store and see what treasures you can find.
Right, before we get going, a little favour. If you're enjoying the Gadget Show podcast, can you please make sure that you're following the show on your podcast app of choice?
Yes, if you've been listening for a while but haven't left us a rating yet, honestly, it would be huge if you could help us out and give us a rating. It really does make sure that this podcast continues.
Plus, if you're following the show, every new episode will be waiting for you the moment that it drops.
Okay, right, enough of that, Susie. Let's talk tech.
Okay, what's grabbed your attention this week, my friend?
Okay, interestingly, you know I'm a big fan of the Steam Deck.
I've had
two in my time. I've got one now. Interestingly, Valve have just increased the price of the Steam Deck OLED by 40%, which is extraordinary. So some models, depending on memory, are jumping by over 200 quid, jumping up in price. What's particularly painful is that nothing has actually changed. You're getting exactly the same hardware as before. Valve are saying that rising memory prices, storage, manufacturing costs, etc. are to blame. We know that the wider industry is struggling massively. As we've mentioned in previous episodes, Sony has already put up the price of the PlayStation 5. Nintendo has announced a price rise for the Switch 2. And in general terms, the cost of gaming hardware is going through the roof. And it doesn't seem like there's any kind of break anywhere on the horizon. So get in quick if you spot any of their older pricing, which still does pop up in certain sectors of the internet. Second story, Susie, that caught my attention is that PlayStation announced a monitor, a 27-inch gaming monitor with a built-in DualSense charging dock, aimed squarely at gamers who spend... well, I guess more time at a desk than they do on the sofa. The 27-inch QHD IPS panel has a resolution of 2560 by 1440, so it's technically not full 4K, but does support variable refresh rates, which you'll know PS5, PS5 Pro are capable of. So that's interesting. Doesn't excite me too much, but I just thought it was an interesting announcement. Finally, I've got another story that caught my attention this week. Big announcement from Nvidia. I'm guessing you probably didn't miss it. So most people know, obviously, Nvidia is the company behind some of the most powerful graphics cards in the world, which is in turn leading the charge for AI. But at this year's Computex Tech Show in Taipei, Nvidia's boss Jensen Huang revealed something quite different. For the first time, Nvidia is making a complete computer chip designed to run an entire Windows laptop, which is really quite exciting. It's called RTX Spark, and instead of just handling graphics, it combines a brand new Nvidia processor with one of its most powerful Blackwell graphics chips in a single package. So this is interesting, obviously, because you know, laptops generally have relied on Intel and companies like AMD, you know, and Qualcomm. More recently. But now Nvidia diving in, they're saying, quote, actually, we quite like a slice of that pie too. My God, I'm sure their investors are very happy. The company says the graphics performance is comparable to the sort of hardware you'd find in a powerful gaming laptop today. So in practical terms, that would mean, you know, you'd be able to play the latest games, do some 4K editing, possibly running AI tools, you know, without needing separate graphics cards and stuff like that, which is interesting. The first wave, though, won't be cheap. We're probably talking premium laptops.
Aren't you, with you?
Well over $2,000 is what we're expecting. But if Nvidia can deliver on its promises, it could make the laptop market more competitive in the long term, Susie. Right. You know, when you add a third main chip supplier to, you know, the likes of Intel and AMD, that can only be good for the consumer.
So I just want to say something that really excited me at the weekend with MotoGP, first of all.
All right.
So we had a new top speed record.
Wow.
Like, do you want to know what it is?
You know, I have no idea what it would be.
Really? So we were at Mugello at the weekend, that's got a long straight, and Jorge Martin hit 229 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
Now, just to put that into some kind of idea for how fast you're going, you're going basically 102 metres per second.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? No.
100 metre running track every second.
Unbelievable speeds.
And wow.
It just blew my mind, Dick, and I couldn't get over it all weekend. I thought it was fantastic. But in the computing space, because we're talking about that, something caught my eye this week. Because there was a breakthrough involving one of the most talked about technologies in science, quantum computing. So researchers at King's College London have become the first academic team in the UK to gain access to Google's cutting edge quantum computer chip called Willow. On the surface, it all sounds like a pretty straightforward story, really. But here's the statistic that also blew my mind. So Google says Willow can solve a theoretical problem in 5 minutes, which would take the world's current fastest supercomputers 10 septillion years to complete. And I did just say septillion. So to put that into context, that's 10 billion, billion, billion years.
What?
I know. So the universe itself is thought to be around, 13.8 billion years? So we're talking about a timescale that's almost impossible for the human brain to comprehend. So don't, you know, feel bad if you don't understand what the hell I'm saying.
God.
Because I don't. You can't. You can't get that through your brain, can you, really? It's not about making your laptop faster. The real promise of quantum computing is helping scientists understand incredibly complex natural processes. And the King's College team wants to use Willow to study things like how plants convert sunlight into energy, for example, how electricity moves through advanced materials, and how molecules interact inside the human body. So you can kind of see where that's going. Answering those kind of questions could lead to more efficient solar panels, you know, smarter energy systems, and potentially even new medicines for diseases that are currently very difficult to treat. So it's interesting. I mean, quantum computing is still in the early days, and there are plenty of challenges to overcome before it becomes a part of everyday life. But researchers around the world are making rapid progress, and the UK is investing heavily in the technology. So while quantum computers might still sound futuristic, they're increasingly moving from the lab into the real world, and this latest project puts British scientists right at the forefront of that journey. So there's a bit of tech for good here, because I'm a little bit sick of hearing politicians and various other people talking about how good every single bit of technology is, in AI in particular, and I am talking about you, Tony Blair, and I'm not buying it, but I'm buying this.
Sold. Now, this is normally the part of the podcast where we'd be telling you about our latest competition.
Yeah, but this week, we're doing something a little bit different.
Yeah, at the beginning of the last series, thanks to our friends at CEX, we launched a competition giving one lucky listener a £5,000 tech shopping spree.
And today, we're finally going to reveal the winner.
And the best bit, he has absolutely no idea that he's won.
Yeah, that's right. Our producer got in touch and asked if he'd like to join us for a quick chat about gadgets and tech.
This is so much fun. What he doesn't know is that we're about to tell him that he has won the full Gadget Show competition prize fund of £5,000.
Imagine that. So are you ready? Let's bring him in.
Joining us now is Richard Wykes, better known to our Patreon crew as Skewy Cat. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Hi, team. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, Richard, it's great to see you. Thank you so much for supporting the pod, first of all.
Yes.
But we've got a question for you. Do you have anything on your tech wish list right now?
Gosh, nothing specific, but a lot of my tech is very old.
At the start of the last series, you probably remember that we launched a competition with CX, and Skewy Cat, you submitted your answer.
Which was...
2004, I think.
You said 2004, and we have checked all the entries and verified everything. And Richard Wykes, a.k.a. Skewy Cat, you are our winner.
Yay! Skewy Cat, you total legend. You've just won the Gadget Show competition. Oh, mate, £5,000 to spend on a tech shopping spree courtesy of CX.
Come on!
How'd you feel, Richard?
Oh, it's amazing.
So, Richard, is there something, you know, that you're thinking of straight off that you'll go and buy at CEX?
I know my mum wants a new TV.
What a dutiful son you are. That's lovely. Absolutely superb. Well done. Well done, Skewy Cat. Absolutely superb.
Thank you. Cheers, guys.
Huge congratulations once again to Richard, and thanks to everyone who entered.
And of course, a massive thank you to CEX for making it possible, and hope it's not lost for those who didn't win, or for anybody who missed out.
Because we've got another £5,000 to give away to spend at CEX. Yes, another £5,000 is up for grabs, and as an added bonus, our friends at T3 are also throwing in a year's subscription to the magazine.
And once again, to win big like Richard, you need to be one of our Patreon listeners, and by joining, you become a part of an elite group of tech fans, so you've got very decent odds indeed.
Yeah, to enter, head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and sign up to one of our paid tiers. We've got light, mid and max. They start at about the price of a cup of coffee.
So light gets you one entry, mid gets you three, and max gets you five. So if you fancy boosting your chances, obviously that's the one to go for.
And then just send us a DM on Patreon with the answer to the following question. Back when the Gadget Show first launched in 2004, which of these would you most likely have carried in your pocket? An MP3 player, an AI pin, a Steam Deck, or a VR headset?
And don't forget, you're not just entering the competition.
Yeah, you'll get ad-free episodes, early access to loads of content, and bonus bits.
Yeah, and on Max, the full Gadget Show archive is there. 20 years, nearly 500 episodes. It's all there.
Yeah, so if you want better odds, loads of extras, and a shot at a £5,000 tech shopping spree at CEX, head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow. Now.
And full terms and conditions are linked in the episode. Joining us on the Gadget Show podcast for the very first time is the editor-in-chief of T3.com, Matt Gallagher. Matt, welcome. Lovely to see you. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you, Susie. It's really nice to be on here.
Nice to have you with us, Matt. You've got one of those jobs that kind of sounds enviable, I think, from the outside world. Yeah. You're constantly getting hands-on with the latest tech and the gadgets and the cars, interestingly. Absolutely. Pertaining to what we're about to talk about, which actually I think let's just dive straight in there, actually, because a very special car was launched in the last few days, none other than the first ever electric car from Ferrari, called the Luce. I believe it means light, which is ironic because it's not light at all. I tell you what, I'll give some spec, but then we'll hand over to you because you were actually at the launch. First of all, I think we were talking 1,035 horsepower, which is extraordinary. 0 to 62 miles per hour in 2.5 seconds. A top speed of 192 miles an hour. A range of 329 or thereabouts. And a price, are you ready for your eyes to water? £460,000. The Luce. The exterior of the car, designed by industrial designer Mark Newsom, And interestingly, the interior by Johnny Ive and his company Love From, who of course is the possibly the most famous designer from Apple, designed the iPod, etc., etc. So yeah, so this has been an interesting launch because the reaction, I think it's fair to say, has not been that positive. But look, you were there. Let us know from someone who's seen the car, possibly touched it, how it went, and then we can talk about the wider reaction to it around the world.
Absolutely. I mean, it's in some ways a blessing and a curse to be there in Rome for the actual event. I think everyone that saw it walked away that day a little bit shell-shocked, but I think overall the opinion was they we could see the benefit of it. And I think when the embargo broke and everyone kind of had their reactions, it was a bit of a shock, but I think it makes sense of why people are upset. You know, it doesn't look like your typical Ferrari, but as you said, it will potentially drive like one. It has like four motors on it. It's got active independent suspension. It's got torque vector handling. It's going to drive like a Ferrari, but the looks are very different. And you know, it's a five-seater car. It was never meant to look like a Ferrari. It's meant to be a family car. So though I think yes, it's not what people were expecting, but I think there are benefits to it, and certainly inside it's absolutely stunning.
And that's the point, Matt, isn't it, really? I think, you know, because when you first see it, when you look at it, you think its proportions are weird. It's too high. It doesn't look like a Ferrari. It looks like an EV car. Yeah. Like if this had been another manufacturer bringing it out, there wouldn't be all this hoo-ha. But because it's Ferrari, they are always gorgeous and sleek. And, you know, you grow up wanting to have a Ferrari. You have them on your wall when you're a kid. That's the whole thing of they're dream cars, aren't they? Whereas this does not look like a dream car.
No.
But like you said, you know, it probably drives incredibly well, but maybe it's not being aimed at your Ferrari buyer, who are very loyal customers. It's being aimed at your EV buyer, your Tesla buyers, etc., etc.
Hence my point, Susie, about Matt being invited. You know what I mean? And so many other tech influencers were invited.
It was interesting. I spoke to Mark Newsom at the event, and he said
he's the designer of the outside of the car.
Yeah. So he's. He was there for Love From, and he said that, you know, Ferrari specified that they want a five-door car. That was, they didn't want an EV, they wanted a five-door car. And the solution to that was actually an EV. So it was a five-door car first rather than an EV. So if Ferrari had said, we want an EV, maybe we might have ended up with a sporty EV. But Ferrari were very clear, they wanted a five-door family car. So in that way, it was kind of prescribed at that stage that it was going to be a big car.
It's the Ferrari connection that does you in, really. But that market of people that love a sports car, they're going to buy. They're going to buy an electric car. I'm not buying an electric car. I'm buying a sports car. And you know, and Ferrari have said that, you know, that they want to also that they want to keep. They're keeping their collection. They're not going all electric or anything like that. They're just trying to put a toe in the market, aren't they?
There will always be your sports car Ferraris. I think this is very much a sideline for those that want an EV and have Ferraris, that they have a Ferrari EV.
Okay, so from one of the biggest car launches then of the year to one of the biggest gadget lists of the year, the top 100.
Absolutely, yeah. We obviously put our T3's top 100 products together every year. This is our list of what's hot, so the hot 100 every year. And yeah, it's our collection of things that are new, things that are really making an impact, and things that have really kind of stood out for us on T3. And so some of them aren't available yet. Some might be trends, some might be people, but there's a lot of interesting products in there as well.
Yeah, there really is. And we're not going to go through the whole top 100 because obviously we'll be here till Christmas. So we're going to focus on the top 10, Jace, aren't we?
Okay, cool. Yeah, absolutely. Top 10. Before we get there, were there any gadgets, Matt, further down the list that really stood out to you in case Susie and I missed those ones?
We've got the Cloyd LG robot, which is their home robot that's designed to be your home assistant, nanny, everything else. I saw that at CES, and that is really impressive. That's kind of something that, who knows if we'll ever see it on sale, but that really impressed me. And then we've got things like the Bowers & Wilkins speakers in there. You know, they are still making some of the best speakers on the market. And I think that's really important as we kind of blend that kind of home tech and audio. We've even got a few more bizarre things in there, like the Withings U-Scan urine scanner, which is designed to tell you a bit more about the contents of your pee to make sure you're healthy. So kind of useful health tech in there as well.
Shall we go in with the top 10 then?
Let's do it.
I feel like we need a bit of da, 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 da. So at number 10 is the Samsung Galaxy Z Trifold. Triple folding phone with a 10-inch screen, which is 10 inches when opened, Snapdragon and Elite chip, 200 megapixel camera, one of the boldest phone designs of the year, I think we can say. But I suppose the question is, Matt, do people really want a phone that folds three times?
I think it's technically a very impressive phone. I mean, it's not potentially sold as well as it might have done. I think for some, it's probably still a bit much. I think, you know, even the basic folding phones do only have a bit of a niche market to them. So I think the Trifold is very specialist, but it's extremely clever. And, you know, if you're wanting something that becomes the size of a tablet that you can fit in your pocket, it's perfect. And, you know, the phone is very slim.
I'm in that market.
So
I'm
Suze is the...
I love them. I love them.
Matt, she's the folding phone whisperer.
Excellent.
She will whisper in your ear and then you'll end up wanting one.
I'm all about the flip phones myself. I love the Z Flip phones. I think they're.
I'm basically buying the new Apple phone, and I don't know why. It's like
you've got to buy a folder and flip.
Who's that guy that used to bend spoons?
Uri Geller.
It's like she's like, you know, Susie Geller. She's been saying to me, and now I actually want one. What about a triple one, Susie? Does that excite you, or are you still?
That excites me because it folds out, so you know I can sit on the plane and watch a film with a decent-sized tablet. I think it's a magnificent idea.
Very, very cool. Okay, in at number 9 on T3's Top 100 Gadgets list for 2026, the Nike Mind, I don't know if you call them 001 or 1 trainers. These are really, I like the look of these, actually. They're the sort of thing that my 18-year-old would wear, and I'd think he looked like a bit of a knobhead. But then Matt's like, yeah, over time... I'd start to think they were quite cool. So a futuristic recovery shoe designed to help athletes before and after exercise using moving foam pods underfoot that compress and shift as you walk. Definitely one of the most unusual products in the Hot 100, do you think, Matt?
I think so. I think, as we kind of mentioned briefly, like health tech and sports tech are really interesting at the moment. Mm. And Nike have been doing some really great stuff with that. They'd look a bit Crocs like for my liking. I don't think I could pull these off, but yeah, you know, as a kind of a sports tool, I think it's a really impressive idea.
Do you think they might cross over though, Matt? Because, you know, I mean, when you look at I can't stand Crocs, so they should be illegal, but obviously they're massive and loads of people buy them, so I never know, you know, what's going to actually cross over into the fashion sphere, really. Do you think these could do it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's at that price, I think you could see people wearing these out on the street before too long. Not me, though.
At number 8, it's the Sony Link Buds Clip Open. Your open ear earbuds that are designed to keep you aware of your surroundings, built for all day wear, opposite philosophy to traditional noise cancelling earbuds. You know, I guess that comes with, we've talked about these on the pod before, haven't we? And I fell in love with some earlier last year. You're just more aware of your surroundings, safer if you're running and that kind of thing, or you need to speak to somebody and converse and not be shut off in your own little world. So the future of audio might be hearing more of the world and not less, maybe.
I think so. I think, yeah, as you say, this kind of design has been really popular over the last year or so. For that reason, you know, people want to kind of keep those headphones in, but, you know, still want to be able to kind of interact. And I think... in some places, just keeping earphones on can feel a bit rude, whereas these are a lot more subtle. I think you can just wear these and you know, I've seen some that kind of look a lot like jewellery. The Sony ones are kind of definitely a bit classier, but certainly they answer that brief that you can just keep them on all day.
Number 7, interestingly, before it's even released, T3 are, I guess, predicting that GTA 6 is going to be awesome. I mean, you don't need me to tell you, this is the most anticipated game of this console generation. Returning players to Vice City, scheduled for release in November. I have already booked a week off with my agent, so I can play it. The only game in the top 10 of this year's T3 hit list. So, yeah, how exciting? How exciting is this?
I mean, we've been talking about this game for years, and, you know, every time it gets put back, you kind of... You just keep hoping it's going to come, but it from what we've seen with the teaser videos, it does look absolutely amazing. You know, they've not dropped the ball on the last few games, and this one, they've spent so long on it, it just has to be good.
They've spent $2 billion, haven't they, in production costs? That's what they've what's rumored, and it's supposed to be the biggest entertainment release, not just game release, but entertainment release that the world has ever seen. However, it's expected that in a matter of days, it could earn. It will cover its costs and over time will earn hundreds of billions over the course of the game's life. You know, do you think that is highly likely?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's so every time we write about it, it gets a huge audience. People are just, you know, they are waiting for this game to come out. Like, I don't think there's been talk about how much the game is finally going to cost. I don't think people are that bothered.
I was going to say, I don't think it matters.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't say that because I do know it does have a massive impact on people. But I think you're right. If any game can have a premium price, it's probably GTA 6, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, should we move on to number six then? Number six is LG Evo W6 Wallpaper TV. A few quick facts on that. Ultra-thin OLED TV uses LG's wireless Zero Connect box. And it's designed to blend into the room, so it feels like part of the decor, really, rather than, you know, a television stuck on the wall or in the corner of the room. So yeah, is it a television that's trying to not look like a telemap?
Yeah, I think we've certainly seen a lot of the kind of the art TVs over the last year, producing stuff that can go on your wall and look like a picture, and so that it doesn't have that, you know, TVs have got so big that they can be quite imposing, that big black screen on your wall that when they're not turned on, you know, it takes up a lot of space. So having something that when you're not using it can be a piece of art, or it can just blend into the background, makes sense. You know, we're talking about TVs that are going up to kind of 115 inches, the big versions now. That's a lot of space on your wall. So yeah, it's great that you can have something that doesn't take over the room.
I feel like this is a ladies' TV.
I mean, I think just anyone that wants a nice looking room. I think, you know, TVs are great when you're using them. I think when they're turned off, that big black square just kind of looks a bit rubbish, really.
So number five now, it's Lenovo Legion Go 2. Quick facts about that. Handheld gaming PC, 8.8-inch display. SteamOS version launching this year. And it builds on the success of the Legion Go S, of course. Handheld gaming has become one of the hottest sectors in tech. So I suppose the question here is, are, you know, handheld gaming PCs becoming the new consoles, Matt?
I think they probably are at the moment. You know, we've seen Intel develop a new chip, especially for handheld gaming. So it's definitely a massive growth area at the moment. And yeah, you know, the Lenovo Legion Go is one of those machines that's done really well. And you know, they're great little tools. I think everything from, I know you talked about the Switch 2 last week, through to kind of this, the more Steam OS machines, you know, there's a chance to play everything on these and you can take them everywhere.
We're at number four on the top 10 here of T3's Hot 100. And number four is the Ultra Human Ring Pro. A few quick facts for you.
Cool.
Has 15 days of battery life. It has 45 with the charging case. Real-time health insights and a focus on proactive health tracking. Smart rings are quietly becoming serious smart watch rivals, aren't they?
Absolutely. I think everyone got to the stage where I don't know if people just missed having an analog watch and still wanted the tracking. That for me was one of the reasons I love a smart ring, that, you know, you can just wear your normal watch and it just looks a bit more subtle. But yeah, I mean, Ultra Human are obviously one of the bigger names. They've done well for lack of subscription on their products, which has worked really well for them.
Right.
But yeah, the one before this was really good, and the new version now obviously has the bigger battery life. It has the charging case as well that you can charge on the move, which is really good. But yeah, they're great products. They're really good fun.
Okay, and so we've got at number three. We're already there. Can you believe the top three? Apple's budget iPhone, the 17e. But despite that budget price, in inverted commas, you get the A19 processor, a 48 megapixel fusion camera. Starts at 256 gigs of storage, AGS MagSafe support. And yeah, it does represent, you know, I guess in Apple's world, really good value for money.
I think so. It's really interesting this year. I think that Apple bought out three products all at the same price. So they had the MacBook Neo, they had the iPad Air, and they had the iPhone 17e, all for $599. And at that price, you can kind of, you can build your kind of whole ecosystem for a quite affordable price in Apple terms. And in terms of iPhone, I think for a lot of people, this iPhone does everything they need it to. I think that's the difference. You know, obviously the iPhone 17 Pro, Pro Max has all the bells and whistles on. You've got all the cameras, and if you want that, you need to spend a bit more. But for most people that just want an iPhone, the iPhone 17e is great. Like the camera that's on it is fantastic. You don't get the wide angle, you don't get the telephoto, but what you do get is a 48 million pixel camera that has great quality.
Yeah, they sort of nailed that, didn't they? So they're at number three, but at number two, you've got Samsung's Galaxy S26 Ultra. So that's the one, obviously, with the privacy display feature that we talked about on the pod to stop people behind, you know, or alongside you nosing at what you're looking at.
I'm actually the guy on the train looking, so I've been really annoyed. When I see an S26, I'm always disappointed.
What's going on there? AI-powered software improvements and Samsung's flagship phone, wasn't it, really, for 2026. They seem to be winning on the software front rather than the hardware, perhaps, this year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the AI software on it, but this is just a good, solid phone in every respect. You know, it's the cameras on it are great, the screen is great, the technology on the privacy is very clever, and yeah, but it has the AI assistants in there that just give you everything you want. It is kind of that ultimate phone, really.
Right then, it's the moment of truth. The number one gadget in T3's Hot 100 for 2026 is Lego Star Wars Smart Play.
Interesting choice, Matt. Not
I
what
love
I expected.
This.
I mean, the Lego Star Wars Smart Play, the Smart Brick, it's such a clever piece of technology. I think just having that brick that transforms those Star Wars models and gives all those sound effects. It's really nicely done. Ah, look at that. I'm going to match.
Have you got one? Okay.
Go
yeah,
on,
it's really interesting. Mine's actually, annoyingly, my actual brick is on charge in the front room.
Same with mine.
But,
yeah. Oh, you've got oh man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I mean, the thing that blew my mind was when I found out that it's not samples, it's a synthesizer.
Absolutely. It's
amazing.
The way it works is really clever.
Meaning that they could, there you go. Meaning as Matt holds this up and wobbles it in front of camera, I mean, it is literally just the size of a normal standard piece of Lego. And yet inside, not only just lights and sensors that react to light, which is how it turns itself on and off when you press like a fire button or, you know, whatever. Or when you put it on an adjacent dock, I'm guessing that's RFID, is it that thing? But anyway, I don't know. But what I do know is the sound production is synthesized. And what's clever about that is that they can therefore, they've got future proofing for as long as they want, because they just provide code and MIDI and it produces synthesized sound. I think I can say it just about.
And the different Lego sets can interact with each other as well, can't they?
Absolutely. So yeah, if you've got the TIE fighter and the X-wing, you can battle with them, and by pointing one at the other, it can see when you're facing towards it. And so to do with the accelerometers and everything in the brick, it can work out when you fire and it hits, and the possibilities on it are huge.
This is a controversial winner. Did it feel controversial when you were doing the chat about the top 100?
I think when we saw it, like, there was no doubt from the team that this was just really impressive technology. The fact that, you know, it has such possibilities. You know, it's in the Lego Star Wars at the moment. It won't surprise me to see it come into any other of the Lego groups, whether it goes into their other themed Legos, whether it goes into
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, yeah. I think you'll see it going across all of those groups. I think it's going to continue to be huge, and because that brick can do anything, it just gets that information from the tiles and from the smart figures. Like whatever smart figure or tile you put next to it, any of those bricks will make that sound. So it just has a massive potential.
Brilliant stuff. Well, if you want to see the full Hot 100 for 2026, head over to t3.com.
And Matt, great to see you. Thank you ever so much for joining us on the podcast and sharing your thoughts on the Ferrari and the Top 100. Really enjoyed talking to you.
Great to be on. Thank you so much, both of you.
That's all we've got time for this week.
Yeah, huge thanks to Matt Gallagher from T3 for joining us.
And before we go, we would like to say thank you to the people who keep these podcasts alive.
If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see their names on screen right now. Absolute legends, every one of you.
Yeah, they're Patreon supporters in every episode. Every interview, every competition, every ridiculous gadget discussion is made possible because of them.
Yes, so whether you've been with us from day one or you just joined us last week, thank you. We genuinely appreciate every single one of you.
And if you'd like to join our little gang, then we'd love to have you.
Yeah, you get ad-free episodes, early access, bonus content, access to the full Gadget Show archive and entry to our Gadget Show competition and that £5,000 to spend at CEX.
Yeah, just head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow to find out more.
Right. Okay, we'll be back next week with more gadgets, more tech, and probably a few things we absolutely don't need, but desperately want.
Yes, take care, everybody. Good to see you.
Thanks, guys. See you next time.
See you next time.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.